You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Yeah, what's up? Welcome inside Studio 34. It is FST Overtime right here on the Fantasy Sports Network. Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, the all-in kid, Jake Seeley, holding it down for Matt Modica, the closer, Chris Ventura. Shout out to Benson Hurst, you already know. Coming up on the program today, we're going to have a homie, Joe Lisi, come by. Going to talk a little wide receivers with him as we get closer to the NFL Combine. Some of the guys that have been invited to the Combine, we'll break them down. Ask my man Joe Lisi what's up with that. We'll do a Rotation Nation. I believe today we got, the Boston Red Sox. Boo. So that they suck. But we'll talk about their rotation and what they can do for your fantasy baseball team. We'll have our profile in Black History on Hugh Jackson. Good morning, all-in kid Jake Seeley. How you doing this morning, sir?
I'm doing good, Corey. How's it going?
Very well. So did you see this gal, this young lady last night, it's Chloe Kim, killing the Olympics. Did you hear about this?
No, I was watching it. I told you I watched the Olympics. I'm the one that was trying to get you to watch, remember?
Yeah.
You're the one that said, I don't do the cold.
Yeah, that was me. You're right. She bodied it, though. She did real good. I heard about it this morning. And she killed it, 17 years old.
Oh, so you didn't even watch it?
No, I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, turn your headset down a little bit, by the way.
Oh, boy. Oh, it's probably the one over here. Chris Ventura, good morning. How you doing,
I'm
sir?
I'm good. How are you? How's everything? Glad to be here with you guys on the OT.
I'm glad to have you, Ventura. Did you watch the Chloe Kim girl last night in the Olympics?
No, I did not watch the Olympics last night. I'm not big into the Olympics.
You're not a cold weather sport guy?
I mean, I'm down with some winter. You know, I like curling, kind of.
You like what?
Curling,
The curling joint?
I kind of like the curling, yeah.
So
I know a lot of people don't, but I do.
Chris, what are you doing for Valentine's Day?
I'm not really doing anything. Me and my girlfriend, we mix it with our anniversary, which was the February 2nd. So, you know, we did something combined this past weekend.
Okay.
Went out to dinner and stuff.
How many years have y'all been together?
4 years.
4 years, that's good.
4 years running. It's that's about good. Time
to do what?
Put a ring on it.
Really?
Yeah.
You're getting close to that, huh?
Getting close to that.
You should talk to Florio. Because Florio and Greg, they've been avoiding, you know what I'm saying? And you seem like an upstanding young man that will go ahead and make an honest woman out of her young girlfriend.
I am, but I'm a little afraid because I don't know what I'm doing. I need help. I need a woman's help.
With what?
Picking out rings and all that other stuff.
Like that.
That's not my thing, you know what I mean?
Well, we got Ashley Abreu. She works with you. She might be able to help you. Just ask your girlfriend, like, what kind of cut of a ring you want.
That I know. I know a little bit about the cut and stuff. I just don't want to get ripped off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want to pay 15 G's for a ring that's 10. You know what I'm saying?
Jake, I've never been engagement ring shopping. Have you?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I haven't even been. I've had ladies.
Sorry, we're getting breaking news.
Uh-oh, what's coming in?
Mike Shula, offensive coordinator for the Giants.
Yikes. You talk about recycling mediocrity. Mike Shula, OC for the New York Giants. He goes in and he joins Shermer's staff. Who's going to be the play caller, Jake? Shermer or Shula?
Oh, well, Shermer already said he's going to be the play caller.
Okay, cool. That was already been out there. So got that information right there. Mike Shula gets fired in Carolina, locks on in New York to be the offensive coordinator. I don't think Giants fans are going to be happy about that. We'll break that down a little bit when we come back on the other side. The homie Joe Lisi, we talk about some wide receivers going to be at the Combine. It's Overtime right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-292-8137 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-292-8137 for your free author submission kit. Again, that's 800-292-8137.
Weekend Fantasy Update.
He's a pioneer in fantasy sports. He's the man. He's Lenny Melnick. Who do you think gets the most at-bats at first base with the Mets?
Nomar Rosario. He looked like a man among boys. Based upon how he handles himself on the field, he's got a lot of the tools, and some of the tools that he does have not been fully developed yet. If you're in a dynasty league, this is a guy that you must get.
Saturdays from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern. Only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. FNTSY.com/radio.
Skix sneakers are taking over tailgates and alumni homes across America. Skix canvas high top, low top, slip-on, and kids tennis style sneakers designed in officially licensed college colors and logos is a must-have for every college fan's wardrobe. Fun, fashionable, and comfortable, whether you're at the big game or watching the game at home, Skix helps fans perform better. Go to Skix.com and use promo code FNTSY for 15% off your pair now. That's Skix.com. Skix sneakers, the soul of a true fan.
The Tout Wars Hour.
Steve Gardner of USA Today. Are there any dynasty prospects you would buy low on right now?
We get a lot of hype about players coming up through the minor leagues, comes to the major leagues, does something and either succeeds or fails, has maybe a little bit of some growing pains, and we end up dismissing them and moving on to the next guy, looking for the Acuñas and the Victor Robleses and guys that haven't come up and haven't actually had a setback before.
Sundays, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Steiner Sports is the leading memorabilia provider for the New York Yankees, Rangers, Giants, Knicks, and the Brooklyn Nets. Featuring hundreds of items from your favorite athletes, Steiner Sports is your source for the best sports gifts. Go to SteinerSports.com/box and shop our collection of memorabilia boxes, which include 10 gifts for the price of one. We've made one for each of your favorite teams. Hurry, supplies are limited, and these are some of the best deals we have ever offered. So go to SteinerSports.com/box today.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Do we got the Goon Squad rocking with us? Are we live on YouTube?
Hey.
Hey. So, FST Overtime right here on the Fantasy Sports Network, All In Kid. I'm the Fantasy Executive. This is the closer, Chris Ventra.
What's up?
Getting ready to talk some wide receivers, because you need wide receivers for your fantasy football teams. Very important that you get those guys to come out there and catch the rock for you. So we're going to talk about some of the guys that's going to be performing at the NFL Combine, seeing what they think about them, seeing what NFL scouts, executives think about these players. So you're bringing my man, no college football, better than anybody else on the face of the earth. It's my guy, Joe Lisi. Joe Lisi, good morning, sir. How you doing?
Doing well, Corey. Loving the intro music by Chris Ventra there. Digging it big time.
Yeah, well, it went down this morning. There was a whole story behind that song. I was listening to it on my way on the train this morning, Joe, and then the train ride was horrible in the city this morning. It was crowded, it was packed, and then, and somebody passed gas, and it smelled like a Pampa, Joe.
It really is disgusting.
Only in New York, right? Only in New York, Corey.
Only in New York, Joe. So let's get ready to hop in and talk some about some of these wide receivers. I think we've already broken down some of the bigger names like Calvin Ridley and stuff like that. So I want to talk about some of the other guys end of the month. We're beginning of March, be performing at the Combine. Let me start out with SMU wide receiver Cortland Sutton. His name rings bells in some NFL circles. What do you think about Cortland Sutton? What's his skill set? What can he bring to an NFL franchise?
Yeah, well, he's got great size. He goes about 6'4", about 220 pounds, played with quarterback Ben Hicks. That had a dynamic regular season. He threw for 32 touchdown passes. And I think Cortland Sutton will be a solid NFL wide receiver. Is he an elite top 10 talent, especially at this point in his career, Corey? I don't think so. I know he possesses the physical raw attributes, but again, playing in the conference that he did, playing bump and run coverages against some of the better defensive backs in the NFL and in the country, I just don't think he's an elite wide receiver at this point. I think he's more of a second or a third round pick heading into the NFL draft.
Joe, let me ask you about a wide receiver that is kind of fun. I have a little soft spot for him because I see him as basically a little bit better version of Jarvis Landry, and that's Christian Kirk. Are you on the same page as me, or not quite as excited?
No, I like Christian Kirk. I like Christian Kirk. I think he's a smooth route runner. I think his ability to separate from opposing defensive backs, you could utilize him in a multitude of packages. He can play the outside as a number one, like an Antonio Brown. He could also play the slot position, which is very important in the NFL. And more importantly, he's a 5'2 wide receiver where he could be utilized on fly sweeps and reverses, along with being a punt and kickoff returner. So I think Christian Kirk is an elite wide receiver. I put him up there with Calvin Ridley and along with my guy James Washington as being a top 10 overall pick, and he did it in the SEC. So I'm all in with Christian Kirk as well.
This part where you talk, Ventra.
Oh, what's up? Hey, Joe. How you doing? Good to speak to you. I wanted to talk about this guy, Equanimeous St. Brown on Notre Dame, wide receiver.
From Notre Dame. I mean, he's another wide receiver that's going to be talked about for the NFL Combine because of his size, Chris. He goes about 6'4", goes about 220 pounds. From a number standpoint, didn't put up dynamic numbers this year for Notre Dame because of the progression of quarterback Brandon Winbush. But that being said, I think he's a wide receiver that on the next level can perform, can catch the ball at its highest point, has solid route running ability. Again, it's going to be how can they play against bump and run coverage on the NFL level. That's what remains to be seen. But from a schedule perspective, he stepped up against the better teams on their schedule this year. He's an elite wide receiver that has big play capability. Again, would you take him as a top 10 overall pick in the first round or even a first round pick at this point? I don't think so. I think he slips to the second or third round. You can pick him up there, which is great value. And we've seen Notre Dame wide receivers on the next level, such as Golden Tate, perform. So I think he's got a huge upside for the NFL draft.
Talking with my man Joe Lisi right here on FST Overtime on the Fantasy Sports Network. NFL Combine coming up about 3 weeks from now. So getting the breakdown from Joe, some of the guys are going to be out there performing and letting you know how they will perform, hopefully, on your fantasy football teams in 2018. Joe, Cat from I had a homeboy lived in Irmo, South Carolina, and he kept telling me, like, yo, it's this dude out here. He's going to be a beast when he gets to the league. And I'm like, well, he's like 10 now. So, and he said for a while, he was like, nah, he's real good. And finally, the guy's getting ready to go to the combine. His name is Auden Tate. Played wide receiver at Florida State University. What do we think about Auden Tate? Give me a breakdown on Auden Tate, and then Joe, I want to know from you, what exactly is it that scouts are looking for? What are the priorities for wide receivers when they go to the combine?
Okay, so Auden Tate, I think, is a dynamic performer. I think he possesses raw attributes that can really separate him from the field. I mean, I think he's got top-end speed. I think his ability to go over the middle and catch footballs in the next level will really be where Auden Tate performs. Now, again, I think he needs to add another 10 to 15 pounds of muscle onto his frame. I don't think he's as big as some of the other players in the combine heading into the NFL draft. That being said, I think he has huge upside, especially when you look at Florida State players on the next level. We've seen wide receivers perform. Quarterback has been an issue over the last couple of years. I mean, DeAndre Francois and Blackman last year, freshman quarterback. So from a numbers standpoint, didn't put up dynamic numbers over the last couple of years. So I think that can hurt a player heading into the NFL combine. But when you look at what scouts are looking for, I think it's a twofold type of scenario. I think certain scouts are looking for the raw physical attributes, guys like Cortland Sutton that could just wow at the NFL Combine. And other scouts look at it, what do they do in college from a body of work standpoint? How did they step up against the better teams on their schedule, the better defensive backs? And I think that you get a twofold type of breakdown on certain players. I think it's really, you have to take a little bit of both and mix it in to see where these players progress and project on the next level. I'll throw two other names out there too. They're going to be probably mid-round picks or possibly free agents. Keep an eye out for two big play wide receivers because of their size. Alan Lazard from Iowa State and Simi Cobbs from Indiana. Both of those guys go about 6'4", 6'5", respectively, 220 pounds, but they didn't play with elite quarterbacks, so their numbers aren't as good as some of the other guys in this draft. But I think on the next level, their ability to catch the football at its highest point and box out from a red zone perspective will be an area where both of those receivers will progress on the next level.
All right, Joe. Well, let me go a little bit the smaller school with continue this, and I'm going to talk about Michael Gallup, who I think has good size and good body control, could potentially be a nice possession receiver from day one. I don't think his ceiling's enormous, but I think he could be a nice possession receiver. You see the same thing with Gallup?
Well, Gallup is an interesting project. I mean, when you look at it over the last couple of years now, we've seen Colorado State wide receivers move on to the next level and have some sort of success. But they are playing in a five-wide system. Before Mike Bobo got there, it was Jim McElwain, the former Florida head coach, that really brought an offensive mind to that program. When you look at Gallup overall, yeah, he had a great ball game, made some dynamic one-handed catches against Ohio in that ball game. But again, I mean, from a size perspective, I don't think he's as good as some of the other wide receivers in this draft. He can fall possibly to the third or fourth round and be a more possession wide receiver. Is he going to be an elite number one wide receiver in the NFL? I just don't think so. I don't think he possesses the raw top-end speed. His ability to set from defensive backs is a reason why I think he's going to be in the area of about a third or a fourth round pick overall. But again, I think he'll be a solid NFL wide receiver, being an elite Antonio Brown type of wide receiver in the NFL. I just don't see it.
All right, that's my man Joe Lisi right there. Joe, thank you very much, sir. Always good to have you on. I miss seeing you around the studio on Saturdays and stuff like that, Joe. What's up with that, man, Joe? We got to get them. We got to get in the right people's ear so we can get in studio together some more.
Yeah, you let me know, Corey. I'll put on the jacket. We'll go out afterwards. It's always fun talking shop with you guys.
No doubt. Hey, Joe, what you got any plans for Valentine's Day, if you don't mind me asking?
No, absolutely not. So where are we heading, Corey? Because, you know, obviously I don't have a significant other anymore, so I'm game. I heard Anita Marks from ESPN is going to be out with a bunch of women, so maybe, you never know, we could all, you know, crash the party.
We can find that, Joe. Well, I'll give you a call tonight. That's my man Joe Lisi right there. Go for the 2.com. Check out his work. Joe Lisi gets it done. Thanks a lot, Joe. So there you go. Venture, we're getting ready for
anytime.
They're getting ready, Venture, for the NFL Combine. Do you get excited about that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah, I love the NFL Combine. But it looks like these receivers are all falling much later than, like, last year you had, what, two wide receivers in the top 10?
Yeah.
You know, I'm, what happened? What happened to all these wide receivers?
It might be a down year. You got plenty of running backs this year. But then they, listen.
I like the guy Anthony Miller.
Like from Memphis?
Yes, Memphis.
There you go.
He looks like a Jarvis Landry type, like Kirk, like you, like Jay was saying.
All right, when we come back on the other side, Rotation Nation, the Boston Red Sox. Boo.
The sharpest fantasy sports minds are now available 24/7 straight from your mobile device. Download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app and listen live or on demand to the finest tips, strategies, and advice from your favorite fantasy personalities. It's free and available for both iOS and Android devices. Your life isn't slowing down, so why should your fantasy sports? Head to fntsy.com/radio and download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app today.
I'm gonna hit the post on this one. This beat is hard. Beat is hard, Ventura. You know what I'm saying?
Let it rock.
Yeah. FST Overtime right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Shout out to Bensonhurst. Got Chris Ventura, the closer. All in kid, Jake Seeley. Ventura, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you an emoji guy? Like when you're texting people and stuff like that, you like use a lot of emojis?
Nah, I don't really like to text talk on the phone.
Yeah.
I'm not big into that.
Yourself?
Yeah, I mean, because like my parents get mad at me, I never call them and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, same.
I'm
here.
One of those people. So, yeah. And you know, a lot of people get upset about that. But you know, what am I gonna do? I don't like texting. I don't like talking on the phone. I feel like if we have something really important to talk about, let's talk on the phone. Now, let's not talk through text and start writing paragraphs and stuff.
That's too
much, So I don't use the emojis. I don't play around with that. I'll throw a GIF in here and there.
Yeah, throw a GIF in
there. Throw a GIF.
Jake, you a big emoji guy when you texting people using emojis and stuff like that?
Actually, I do pretty much like half my text, at least, I would say. Although they say that people who use emojis have more sex, so that's not true.
I never heard that. I use a lot of emojis, too, but whatever. I mean, you know, I'm all right, but I'm not.
It's a myth.
Yeah, that I just not, you know, whatever.
It's not a
fact. Do I, you know what I'm saying? But I'm emoji. I like to use emojis, too. Like, sometimes, though, you get some emojis back, and I'd be like, what does this mean? So I'd be like,
oh, yeah.
And then I'd be like, I don't want to send the wrong emoji back. And they'd be like, well, what was that? And then you're like, oh, I thought you sent this. Look, and then it becomes a whole thing.
I found it, Corey. February 4th, 2015, from Time Magazine. People who use emojis have more sex.
People who use emojis have more sex.
15.
So give me an example of what do you mean by what emoji you don't understand what it means.
Like, okay, you know how you got this, you know, it's a whole bunch of different smiling emojis?
Yeah.
But then there's one with, like, all the teeth showing. And I'm like, is that a smile or is that awkward?
That's just like a super smile.
That's a super smile. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, cool. Because I didn't know.
Like a cheese
smile. Because you never know with the emoji dictionary. But the emoji dictionary be wrong sometime, too. You know what I mean? Because I guess emoji definitions vary by person.
Yeah, I mean, is it messed up that I didn't know till like not too long ago what the peach emoji was?
That's for a booty.
That's for the booty.
Yeah,
the booty. I didn't find out till like a couple years ago about
you
that.
See something twerk, you want to see something twerk? You send that one first.
I was like, why is everybody throwing up these peach emojis on Instagram?
Yeah,
I'm like, all right.
Well, on Instagram?
Yeah, so they're throwing.
You were seeing peach emojis on Instagram. So what were you looking at on Instagram?
No, I don't want to talk about
that. Okay, there you go. Ventures, like, let's start talking about this Boston Red Sox rotation. Ron C is doing too much in the chat. Let's start to break down this Boston Red Sox rotation nation for the day. Talking about the Boston Red Sox, I'm not a fan of that team. Matter of fact, it's probably one of the franchises I hate the most in all of sports. So last year, Jake, they go out there and they bring Chris Sale in. And I was like, you know what? It's going to be a disaster because, number one, Chris Sale don't have no strong mental state. You got to have a strong mental state to play in Boston. We already saw his mental state wasn't up to par when he acted a fool when he was about to leave Chicago and he cut up his uniform and stuff like that because he didn't want to wear the ugly uniform. I think we got a piece of that uniform in here somewhere. So I was like, that fan base in Boston, that pressure to win immediately, Chris Sale is not going to be good in Boston. I didn't draft him nowhere. Then he comes out and he wins 17 games against 8 losses, the ERA under 2, the whip under 1, and he strikes out 308. I was terribly mistaken on Chris Sale.
Yeah, look, I was mistaken that terribly, but I was mistaken to a degree of the fact that I thought the ballpark was going to hurt him for the fact that the lefties in that ballpark, and I wasn't expecting those kind of numbers at all. I like 300 strikeouts. I was expecting him to be a top 10 pitcher, but he was kind of in that group after the elite, like where he used to be in that elite group with the Kershaws and, well, Syndergaard went healthy and Scherzer and all that type of stuff. I had moved him out of that group. That was obviously a mistake. So that's where I had him. I was lower on him as well. I think most people were. I don't know a lot of people who saw this move said, hey, he's going to go to Boston. He's going to be even better than before. So I think everybody was with you. It depended on the degree you were off on him, but I don't think anybody expected last year.
I was actually high on him, though.
Oh, really?
I swear.
Really?
I have a lot of my friends and stuff to be like, oh, he's going to get injured. He throws all herky-jerky and stuff.
Yeah.
People waiting for that elbow injury with him. And I'm like, listen, until I see a sign of that, I'm not banking on that. This guy has elite numbers across the board his whole career, pretty much. I mean, you got to continue to expect that until you see a sign that says otherwise. I know the move to Boston, that makes sense, where you could think that the numbers are going to go a little down and he's not going to have 308 strikeouts.
That's crazy.
Which is some like 1990s, 1980s type stuff. But, I mean, this guy's elite. I mean, at this point, you can't, you know, you got to take him if he's available to you and he's the best player available. You can't skip him.
All right, cool. Since I never really had a chance to speak baseball with you, Ventura, when you look for starting pitchers for your fantasy teams, what are you looking for?
I mean, I'm looking for one of the biggest things is K's, but I also don't want a guy who's going to walk 80, 90 guys, and K 200 plus. But K's is a big factor. I play in points leagues.
Oh, you play base?
I don't play categories or rotisserie. I play straight points.
Now, you know, well, let me ask you this. You know, like, everybody in this industry that you're trying to, like, working your way into, we all play rotisserie.
I mean, I could play rotisserie if I have to.
Yeah.
I mean, but I know all the numbers.
Everybody. That's not the only thing. I play head-to-head and points.
Yeah, there you go.
But the expert leagues are all rotisserie.
That's the problem with the expert leagues, that they're not representing everybody.
Oh, that's interesting.
I like that.
So you say it's a new wave of head-to-head and points and stuff like that.
I think head-to-head is more fun.
No, it's been around. It just hasn't been represented. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, no, I think head-to-head is a little bit more fun, too.
Why?
Because let's say, okay, you're in this rotisserie league. Now, let's say you have a rough first 5 weeks or 6 weeks or something, right? Now you're really in a hole. You're in the bottom of the league. It's very hard to climb out of that hole and climb back to the top. Where in head-to-head, even though if you're not that good, you might be 2-3 or something. Yeah. So you still have a chance to make the playoffs. There's more incentive. I mean, this is for more the regular person, because they'll, you know, if someone's out of it, they might not even set their rosters anymore. Then you got problems in your league. Now, a pro league, I understand. Nobody's going to do that.
Yeah,
but
well,
but we're
true.
Talking about the regular people. That's not true.
There's pros that don't set their rosters. You ever played with Jeff Manns before?
No. Nobody has. He doesn't ever show up.
There you go right there. All right, so cool. So we got to probably start, because I know Florio, the BFFs, they do a lot of points leagues too. So we got to start getting some more points leagues analysis.
I'm trying to get Tout Wars to change to the head-to-head points instead of head-to-head categories. Head-to-head categories are the worst.
Yeah, that's not really. I used to do that in a league, and I wasn't a fan of that. But head-to-head points is something that I've been a fan of before.
He's right, too, because, like, honestly, then you got to look for this guy. Oh, I need steals. So now I got to draft a guy that I don't even really want to draft. He's really not even that good, but he could get 30, 40 steals just because I need the steals.
It makes
annoying.
Billy Hamilton a top 10 player, which he shouldn't be.
Right, in points, he's not even close to that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you want the best players you can assemble and get the most points you can. That's what I think. When, you know, similar to football, but football, you know, it's different, obviously. But baseball, that's what I like, that same idea where, you know, you got to get points, and points are what matters most. You don't have to worry about, oh, this category, I need to do this. This category, I need to do that. Make it too complicated.
Love to hear your opinion on this. 844-843-6879. Rotisserie versus points. 844-843-6879. Please call, because I'm starting to worry. Next up on this Rotation Nation, we go to David Price. Now, David Price, last year, we thought in like spring training, we thought David Price's elbow was going to disconnect from the joint and it was going to fall off and he was going to have Tommy John surgery and it was going to be a year loss for Price. Well, that didn't end up happening. Price did end up playing, ended up playing the whole season, Jake, but I don't think that we got the David Price that we normally wanted to see. Last year, David Price made 11 starts. It's not good.
Yeah.
He made 11 starts. The ERA in those 11 starts was 3.38. And he struck out 76 batters. Let me see what his K-9 was. I had to look that up right quick. His K-9 was still great. Still sure that he had elite stuff. Where are you at with David Price this year, Jake? Are you dudes like going to go back in on Price because you figure, hey, in spring training, he's healthy. I know he's still got that dominant stuff. But I also think like the Boston thing could get to David Price a little bit too.
No, I actually have him as a nice bounce back pitcher this year. I have him inside the top 25, and actually just finished the projections. I have him for about 13 wins, 178 strikeouts, a 3.67 ERA, and 1.21 WHIP. So good numbers, not David Price of his best days, but top 25 pitcher. And I think that people need to be willing to get back on board.
I can do that. I feel like if I'm buying that, you know, at a discount, I'm down with David Price. I think he got good stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Are you a David Price guy?
Well, yeah. I mean, that he's on the Red Sox, it bothers me because, you know, it's hard for me to take Red Sox, but I got to take him. I mean, I took him at a discount last year in multiple leagues, hoping that he'd come back. But he also got hurt, missed all of August, end of July, you know. So it's like this injury thing's a little worrisome, but when you look at his career, and he reminds me a lot of like CC Sabathia. He's a workhorse. The guy pitches 220 innings every year besides last year, you know, since he got hurt.
This is interesting.
He was a workhorse before the injury.
My question for everybody that like doesn't like David Price,
I wanted to get him,
is like, how do you like Dallas Keuchel but not like David Price? Dallas Keuchel misses time every single year too, and it's like people are like, well, you know, I like that look at Dallas Keuchel. They're like, I was a Dallas Keuchel fan last year, but people are like, oh, I want him and not David Price. I'm like, how can you like one and not the other? They're basically the same situation.
Yeah, that is interesting. I heard Scott, when y'all was doing the Roto Experts, the On Target podcast yesterday, which I thought was very entertaining, with Scott taking all those shots at me. I heard Scott had mentioned Dallas Keuchel, and he's an interesting guy. He's being depressed in drafts also, so the all-in kid brings up a good point there. So you don't like to pick, you don't like to pick Red Sox because like you don't, you despise that franchise.
Yeah, I don't like to.
You know,
but
like
I will.
Most fantasy owners, most like fantasy experts, analysts, stuff like that will tell you you can't play with your heart and stuff like that, and you just got to go out there and get your guys. But I like, I feel you. If you can't rock with that team, like I'm never going to own Eli Manning. At least try my best not to ever own Eli Manning.
And you don't have to because he's
gonna,
like the 16th ranked quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like the
true
20th ranked quarterback, so you don't even want him anyway.
I don't even want him on my bench.
Yeah, but like if a, a guy like Price comes by. You know, if he's the best guy available, I'm going to take him. But if there's somebody on his level, I might go the other route. You know what I'm saying?
Because of that. I like your honesty right there, Metro.
Of course, yeah. That's, I mean, that's how I roll.
I didn't notice how you rolled. I didn't know that I was going to get that little tidbit right there, too. FST Overtime, Rotation Nation continues right here when we come back on the other side. Hope to hear from you also, 844-843-6879.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
FST Overtime, profiling black history coming up a little bit later on. Talk about Hugh Jackson losing his coach in NFL history. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm quite sure he's in the top 10. Fantasy executive, Jake Seeley, the all-in kid, the closer, Chris Venture, Red Sox, baseball, Rotation Nation, talking about their pitchers.
I will say this, though.
Oh, sure.
I'm sorry.
No, fine. Go ahead, take over.
Their rotation.
Should I leave?
Their rotation is still nasty, though.
Yeah.
I have to admit that. Their rotation is still top of the line.
Are they the favorites?
All the way through.
Are they the favorites in the AL East?
In the AL East, yeah.
You would say they're the favorites?
I would say
they're
not in the AL altogether. Oh, the Astros are still better.
Cardano's right there. Look at that.
I say a toss-up, and it'll be swung if they sign J.D. Martinez.
So you say right now it's a toss-up, and if they get J.D. Martinez, it will shift the favor back into the Red Sox direction.
Yeah. Well, Jake, I'm saying just the rotation in general.
Oh, yeah, the rotation.
I think the Astros
is
better.
Yeah.
Well, the Astros rotation better than the Red Sox rotation?
Well, now they got Gerrit Cole.
By a mile. Astros has probably the best rotation in baseball.
Yeah, that's right. The Astros is balling.
They're stacked.
Yeah. You were talking about Houston yesterday. Houston is a good sports town.
Oh, yeah.
They do good work out there. Chris,
I mean, look at it. They have to put Peacock back in the bullpen. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, or it's going to be Morton or Peacock or McCullough or somebody. One of those is going to be in the bullpen. Which so is, that it, just tells you how ridiculous.
Exactly. That's crazy. Like, if Morton's the five starter, Morton had a great year last year.
That's wild. They loaded out there. They've been trying to get this team together for a little bit, so shout out to them for getting it done. All right, Ventura. You used to close, JV closer.
Yeah.
Relief man, whatever. Do you believe in a closer's mentality?
Yeah, I think that's a true thing because, you know, look at like Betances last year. I mean, he was having problems all across the board, but some people can't handle that mental pressure that comes in when you're closing a game. And that's a true thing. Even when I was in high school, it's not easy.
No.
It's a 2-1 ball game. You know, everything rides on you pitching well at that moment. And people will fold under that pressure. And plenty of closers have had, you know, that's happened in the MLB plenty of times before. It'll happen again. That's why what Mariano Rivera did in his career is something so incredible that it's like, it's unheard of.
I agree with you. I think closer mentality is a thing. Jake, are you a closer mentality guy?
What do you like? Is
do you think
a
it's a thing?
Do
you think it's a real thing?
I think you could have the makeup for it, certainly. But that's also like the clutch thing. If
right.
you want to get into that whole argument and stuff like that, it's like I don't know. That's necessarily like something we can grade or actually call it a scale for, but I mean, there's certain people, it's basically your ability to handle pressure. That's really what it is. You know, people sweat under pressure. Like when you talk about athletes, you talk about what we do, you know, if somebody put us on the spot and all of a sudden you fold under pressure, if you're on a game show, if you're in your regular job and you got a ton of work piling up or a report coming or a projection or something like that, or a project or something like that, it's just your ability to handle pressure, I think, is the really thing. That's what I would call it.
Yeah. And that's truth right there. Mm-hmm. So both of you guys make great points, and I do believe in it. Some people though, they be like, oh, it's no such thing. And people have gotten on the King about that, because the King is a big Scott Angle is a big
mentality,
closing mentality guy. You feel what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, you work with Scott directly, don't you, Ventura?
Yeah. You know, I speak to him.
How is it?
It's fine. He's a good guy. You know, I mean, he tries to work around with me, and you know, he's pretty cool on the phone. He gives me good direction. I think he's pretty good.
Oh, he's always going to say that. If you ever become Matthew Berry, he's going to say that those days with him was what made you what you were. You do know, you do understand this.
Yes, absolutely. But that's fine, because you know what? He did bring me in.
He brought all of us here, to be honest with
you. Yeah. He said, "Oh, he says he brought you in.
Well, yeah,
he can take you out." He says,
"No, he can't take me out. I know some things that he don't know." All right, let's talk about Rick Porcello. Let's get back to the business right here. Rotation Nation, Boston Red Sox. Rick Porcello. Last year, Jake, the numbers were okay. He still has his stuff. The K-9 is still 8. Not really walking people that much. Lost some velo on the fastball. And the home runs were downright terrible. Gave up a ton of home runs last year. What is the deal with Rick? He gave up 38 home runs last year in 203 innings pitched. That was horrific.
Yeah, Porcello went back to being more like the Porcello we used to know. And, you know, like I have him inside the top 50, but that's barely inside the top 50. About 12 wins, 166 strikeouts, a 4.28 ERA, and a 1.27 whip. Those are all fine, but those are all fine for your fifth starter.
Yeah. Right. He's just a guy for a fantasy league. All in kids say he's a fifth starter. If I'm not mistaken, son just won the Cy Young a couple years ago, right?
Like
a
fluky? The year before last year.
Yeah, like a fluky. Yeah. Didn't he have like 21 wins or something like that?
22. He went 22-4 with 3.15 ERA.
He's never come close to again.
Never.
Yeah.
Whip was 1.01.
He had 223 innings.
That's an outlier year right there for Porcello.
189 strikeouts, which, you know, that's kind of like a not the greatest Cy Young year. I don't know. I think the 22 wins is what really did it for him. Otherwise, you know, he has 18 wins. He probably doesn't win Cy Young. You know what I mean?
So let me ask you this. Is he 2016 or is he 2017?
Oh, he's absolutely more closer to 2017. He's not 2016. Look at his whole career. He's been around for a while. And, you know, I'm not going to say he's just a guy, but like, because he doesn't walk people, which is a really good thing, but he could get shelled at any moment, any start. He could easily give you 6 innings, 1 run, and pitch you a good game, and the next game, 6 innings, 4 runs, and just get tattooed. You know what I mean? So he's not that guy that's going to dominate throughout a whole season. I don't think that's happening again. That was the outlier. It's very clear.
Go ahead, Jake.
Look at what Chris is saying. He pitched 203 innings last year, only walked 48, and his whip was still 1.4.
That's crazy.
That tells you how many people he gives up hits like nonstop. He's probably a little bit better than what we saw last year, but not much. That's an outlier season. I still can't explain 2016.
I wonder what it was. Maybe he was happy. Maybe some things were just going his way.
Baseball's a funny game.
It is a funny
sometimes.
Game. It is a funny game like
a
that.
A mechanic, Chris. You know, you lose one mechanic, it's off. All of a sudden, you go into a major slump, or you know, you're not pitching well anymore. Little things could affect you negatively or positively, depending on the situation, you know?
You're a pretty woke dude, Chris.
I'm a what?
Woke.
You're woke. Oh, yeah.
You're woke.
I love
you're
baseball.
Woke AF. You're woke. You're like, you're speaking knowledge right now, and I'm seeing your wokeness come through.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And honestly, I really haven't done too much studies into baseball yet, but I know from years past, I just know, you know, the guys, I know everybody in the league. I love it. I love baseball. I love statistics. And baseball gives you legit statistics. There's a ton of statistics to look at, unlike football, where it's like very hard to tell.
Don't talk negatively about the NFL.
No, I love the NFL.
Okay. All right.
But the NFL's very different, though.
All right, cool. Who's next? Rotation Nation.
Drew Pomeranz.
Drew Pomeranz, 29-year-old Drew Pomeranz, all-in kid, Jake Seeley. K to 9 was 9.02. The ERA was under 3.5, and he gave up a home run for 9 innings. And then everything else was kind of, Number one, the fastball at 91 miles per hour. Is he a streamer or is he a SP5, Drew Pomeranz?
I'd actually rather have him than...
Than Porcello.
I agree.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's about the same amount of wins, 160 strikeouts, but the ERA at 3.77 and the whip at 1.31. So the ERA and the whip are better. I'd rather have Pomeranz.
Mm-hmm. And this is a guy that, when he was coming into the league, was a highly touted prospect. It just took him a while to get going, and now, the last 2 years, I mean, his ERA, 3.32. Last 2 years, identical. That's a pretty good ERA, especially for the Boston Red Sox and the AL East. And then I know half the year he wasn't on it, but, the only thing is you got to worry about with him is, a little bit of injury history.
He hasn't got that 200 inning mark. What about that fastball at 91 miles an hour?
I mean,
a big deal to you.
I mean, think about it. Keuchel throws 89, 90, barely, and he could get away with it. A lot of it's about where you put the ball and placement and stuff like that. Your junk, your changeup, your curveball.
Wait
I mean,
a minute.
He still K's.
Your junk. I didn't know what he was talking about.
He still K's.
He's telling you where he wants you to put your junk.
I'm sorry.
I mean, look how many guys he K's throwing 91 miles an hour. He K'd 174 and 175 innings. It's really, really good.
Jake, what do you think about that, Jake, about velocity? Is velocity overrated when it comes to fantasy baseball?
100%. It's overrated. Wow. I mean, people throwing 98 miles an hour can get shelled if you're throwing it straight down the middle of the plate.
Right.
I mean, look at Familia the other way. Familia has no control, and he's all over the place because he's walking people, and then he gets in his own head, and he starts throwing over the middle of the plate to make sure he gets strike, and then he blows saves. So, you can go any way with it. Greg Maddux, one of the best pitchers of all time, never top 90.
Yeah, exactly. I remember Armando Benitez, that guy used to throw 100 miles per hour, used to get shelled all the time.
I remember that time when he hit Dow Strawberry in the back and got his butt beat by the Yankees. Yeah. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. That's good for him.
I was young then, but yeah, I remember.
When you take the mound, did you have a routine?
Yeah, you have to get into a routine. Like pre-game routine was a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to jog a little bit around the field. Mm-hmm. Basically around the whole diamond. I used to jog a couple times. You don't want to wind yourself, but you warm up your arm a certain amount of pitches. You don't want to overdo it. It's like an exact science, especially for major leaguers. I'm talking about high school, and they used to do that to me. They used to run me to death
at the JV level. After the game, would run you after the game.
Oh yeah, after I pitch, I used to have to run.
Why?
A ton. I guess that's a way to keep the blood flowing, keep your arm loose, so you don't, your arm doesn't get too sore.
Okay.
Then you have to ice it after.
Yeah.
Both your elbow and your shoulder. There's a lot that goes into it.
But you was a closer. Pitching. You was only pitching like an inning. So why you had to do all that icing and running?
I went to Zaveri and they were very strict.
Very strict.
Very strict. Yeah. They wanted their pitchers tip-top shape.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
Had the school produce other pitchers? Or did you have a lineage of pitchers like Florida State with defensive backs?
I mean, Pedro Beato, who used to pitch for the Mets, I played with him. He was on my team for 4 years in high school. He was a Mets reliever. Didn't last too long, but he made it. We had a couple other big prospects. One kid that got drafted in the first round.
Was he a pitcher too?
Starting pitcher, lefty. I forget his name, Danny something, but he didn't make it. He was a minor leaguer.
Yeah. Is he still in the neighborhood now?
Probably. Yeah. He's probably doing something else now. I don't know what he's doing. But we got some talent.
When we come back, I'm going to close it. Red Sox, Rotation Nation, talk about their closer, Craig Kimbrel, and then Hugh Jackson, Black History Month profile. FST Overtime right here on the network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Where are you at with David Price this year? I also think like the Boston thing could get to David Price a little bit too.
No, I actually have him as a nice bounce back pitcher this year. I have him inside the top 25. 13 wins, 178 strikeouts, a 3.67 ERA, and 1.21 whip. So good numbers, not David Price of his best days, but top 25 pitcher.
This injury thing's a little worrisome, but you look at his career and he reminds me a lot of like CC Sabathia. He's a workhorse.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Oh boy, turn the microphone on. Final segment of the program. Jake, let me get you in here. Where do you have, if you could pull it up right quick, want to put it into the Boston Red Sox Rotation Nation, want to ask you about your closer, your early closer rankings, your first run through of your closer rankings. Where do you have Craig Kimbrel at?
Number two. That's okay. Not even close. It's Jansen Kimbrell, and then a huge gap to everybody else.
Yeah, that's what it seems like is the close of shit. I mean, excuse me, the close of situations. Excuse me, situations seem to be situations seem to be more difficult this year trying to find those guys. Chris, when it comes to drafting the closer, what do you try to get you a guy to pop in there and don't have to worry about it, or do you play the waiver wire?
No, I mean, I play in a league where you know, basically you could use six or seven pitchers. I might change it to six. It was seven, but six, where you could put anybody you want. You could do six starters. You could do, you know, five, four relievers, two starters, whatever you want. But I try not to go after closers too early. You know, I'll wait to like the eighth, ninth round if I'm going to grab my first closer, if someone really good is still available. But Jake's right. Like, I feel like, you know, once those top, you know, three, four, like the really good ones are gone, you might as well wait and get a starter that could give you a lot more. Unless you have to fill closer roles in your roster. If that's the way your roster is built, then you got to do it. But
so what do you do about saves and points leagues? You just punt it?
You don't need to have saves. Yeah, you don't have to have it. I could throw seven starters out there if I want.
What do you think about that, Jake?
That's why points leagues are better for head-to-head, because it just opens up to so many different strategies. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have a stat. That's what I'm saying. This is why Billy Hamilton in the head-to-head categories gets way overrated, because you have to have the steals. You don't have to have steals. If you want to build your lineup on all power hitters and ignore steals altogether in a points league, you can do it. Points leagues let you do what you want to do.
All right, cool. Mm-hmm. We'll get to Hugh Jackson tomorrow, because I wanted to talk about Kareem Hunt.
We don't have to.
Well, you don't do that.
Hugh Jackson? What do you mean, don't do that?
Oh, yeah, I got something more important that I have to do.
I don't want a depressing show.
let me go ahead and... Okay, let me do this right here to make sure I'm still here tomorrow. Fantasy Factor, ladies and gentlemen, is the perfect daily fantasy site for the cat... Where's that noise coming from? Oh, Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NHL and NBA free rolls every week. Free entry. Simply sign up and enter www.fantasyfactor.com. Also, don't forget this week, dailyroto.com. Golf tools, premium product, everything for golf is completely free this week. Go ahead and get your lineup set for the Genesis Open, and then come back and subscribe, because you get all the things for free this week. Everything that they have on Daily Roto for your golf game is free this week. All in, kid, JC, did you hear this story about Kareem Hunt and the young lady accusing him of assault? But it seems to be where this is a situation where she was an underage lady that Kareem Hunt was acting to leave his place.
Yeah, I actually tweeted about it like when it was breaking yesterday. It sounds suspect because it sounds like a lady is accusing the one that's accusing Hunt of slapping her in the face. So it sounds like an iffy situation to begin with. But as I tweeted at that time, and what I'll continue to keep saying, is athletes, stop putting yourselves in these damn positions. You don't have to have this issue if you don't start putting yourselves in these positions. Don't go out at 3 a.m. Don't go out at 2 a.m. Stop putting yourselves in situations with underage girls. Stop putting yourself in situations with parties and drugs and alcohol and stuff like that, or crazy people who you don't know, and you don't know how they're going to act when they're around you or around these things. So stop putting yourself in these situations. You don't have to worry about it.
I like to see a little twerking too, but yeah. I'm very careful.
Yeah.
I'm a fantasy executive. I'm in the spotlight. You know what I mean?
This is all true, but to play the other side of that, I feel like all of a sudden all these, you know, these women are coming out with stuff that they're just basically trying to grab anything they can. Trying to grab anything they can.
Oh, boy. I got them all the way to the end. There we go. Roto Experts Podcast coming up. Stick tuned for that. I'm going to try to grab me a bite first. For the all-in kid, Jake Seeley, shout out to the closer, Crunch Venture, holding it down for Matt Medica. We are out.